Betsy told me to remind you that I have some of my books back there. I don't normally, market those, but we have. Do I have two? Where are you at, Betsy? Do I have two of my books? I think I've got two of my books back there, and one of them is on healing, and the other one is called A Prosperous Soul. And you will be blessed by reading my books. They're easy read. They're powerful, and they're life changing. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, it's because it changed my life. And so, otherwise, I would not share with you, or I wouldn't put in print something that wasn't life changing. And I can't. I'd really detest reading books that are just full of cotton candy. You know, where the first chapter is great, the last chapter is great, but everything in between is a bunch of fluff. And so, but these books are not full of, they will really, the principles in my books, Your Healing Door and A Prosperous Soul, it'll change your life. So I want to encourage you, go back to the bookstore and get those books, okay? All right, so we're want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll look at a couple of verses there. I'll tell you a funny first. Now this one, I've told this here before, but it's been a long time ago. So how many of you know a good joke is good, worth telling again? So there was this Minneapolis couple. They decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particularly icy winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of their hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their travel. So the husband left Minnesota and flew to Florida on Thursday with his wife, flying down the following day. The husband checked into the hotel, and there was a computer in his room. So he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address, and without realizing his error, he sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister who was called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, expecting messages from relatives and friends. After reading the first message, she screamed and fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife, subject, I've arrived." "I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now. And you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in, and I've seen that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is hot down here." That would cause a fainting spell, wouldn't it? Praise God. All right. Ephesians 2. In verse 8, we're going to pick up where we were this morning. Was that helpful this morning? Now, you know, guys, I want to encourage you. Some of you drive some distance to work, and, you know, you could get these CDs and just, you know, if you hear a message here, a pastor shares or one of the guest speakers share, you know, even every once in a while, you can get something from Dan, right? And so, You know, anybody that shares the word, and then if you as you're driving, you listen to that again, there are things you'll pick up that you didn't hear, and some things that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And so I want to encourage you to do that. But Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So by grace we're saved through faith. Well, I don't want to go through what I normally do and ask the questions, how many of you know that we're saved by grace, and people lift their hands. But the issue, you're not saved by grace alone. It's by grace through. And in Colossians 2, verse 6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, let's stop right there. How did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By grace through faith. So walk in Him. How are we to walk our lives and our walk with the Lord? It's by grace through faith. It's not by faith alone. It's not by grace alone. It's by grace through faith. Grace is God's part, and faith is our part. Okay? Creflo Dollar recently was at, a couple of months ago, was at Karis Bible College, and his definition of grace is simply trusting in and depending on God as opposed to self-reliance. It's real simple. You start relying on yourself, and you're headed for trouble. You stay dependent upon God, and then you're going to draw on all the resources of heaven that He's provided for you. Yeah, and so I really liked that. It was awesome. In fact, you could get on KarisBibleCollege.org, and you could get that archive. That was some of the best teaching on grace I've heard in a long time. And so it's not either or. It's not, you know, I'm a grace person or I'm a faith person. No, it's both and. And we need to live out and teach and preach and live out of the balance between grace and faith. But what I've discovered is that people get in a ditch on one side or the other. I was cut my teeth on, you know, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and a lot of the faith guys. But what happened, in fact, I'm a graduate of Rhema. And what I saw, a lot of my alumni friends, they got out and they learned some things about faith, but then they moved it into a formula where they started depending on the principles they knew and what they knew in their minds about those principles, instead of depending on the prince who gave us the principle. Are you hearing me? And it got into faith legalism. Did you know you can get into faith legalism? Then there's, you know, you can get in a ditch on either side. Then you got a lot of folks, or some folks, not a lot. You've got some, though, that have got a hold of the message of grace, and then they've perverted it into something other than what God intended. And it just leads to lasciviousness and license and you know, anybody, and universalism and all kinds of garbage that wasn't God intended at all, and they don't have to do anything. They just sit on a park bench, and you know, God's going to provide for them, and you know, we don't work anymore, we don't do anything anymore, we don't pray anymore, we don't, you know. And how many of you know that's nuts? That's crazy. That's goofball. It's not the gospel. And so you can, you know, if the devil would love for you to overemphasize something and just get in a ditch. Yeah. And I don't want to spend time on this, but if you really want to examine somebody's message, just overlay the book of Ephesians over what people are teaching. Okay, the book of Ephesians was just a real complete treatise about what Jesus did at the cross in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, all that He did for us, what we have because of that, how we're seated together in heavenly places, God's unconditional love for us, and praying that we would understand that, and and all of that. But then in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 is our responsibility. Therefore, because of what he did, what we have, now we're how we're supposed to walk and how we're supposed to live. And if you only preach Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, you're going to get in a ditch. If you only preach Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, you're going to get in a ditch. It's not necessarily doctrinal error. It can just be overemphasis, and the enemy doesn't care. He really doesn't care if you get in a ditch, as long as you, he doesn't care which one you get into, as long as you get one. And then what happens is you get in one ditch and you're throwing stones at people in the other ditch. And you're both in the ditch. You're not going anywhere. And the devil's just laughing at you. And so we need to walk in this balance between grace and faith. And so this morning we talked about becoming or being strong in grace. And it simply, you know, has to do with, you know, us realizing when we get an assignment from the Lord or somebody even that is over us in authority, we, instead of shirking back from that and focusing on our inadequacies and all this, we just lean into Him and we step into what He assigned to us. And we declare and decree, God, I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm laboring by the grace of God. You birthed this in me. You enabled me to do this. I can do what you called me to do. And irrespective of my education or, you know, or my skill or my experience, if we'll just depend on Him and lean in Him instead of backing off or comparing ourselves with other people, you know, then we're going to draw on His grace and on His power. But we also have to walk in faith. It's by grace through faith, right? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. So tonight, I want to talk to you about kind of the connecting message to this morning, becoming strong in faith. I mean, grace. I want to talk to you tonight about walking in faith. Just simply walking by faith. Look at your neighbor and say, this is not going to be a boring message. But you know, what happens is we approach things many times because we've heard it before, like, you know, yeah, I've been there. I heard messages on faith. I know that, yeah, but you hadn't heard mine, okay? And the bottom line is, look, part of what we talked about this morning about grace, if we stay dependent upon God, He makes things that have been stale fresh. The things that have been old, you know, and crusty, He makes them flourishing and life-giving again. Amen? And if we'll depend on Him and lean on Him, man, He can make you a new husband or a new wife. Not give you one, make you one. Make you the new husband that you need to be. Not, I'm not saying He's going to... Don't misinterpret what I'm saying there. He can make you a new husband that you need to be to your wife. Or if you're a wife, He can make you brand new. He can give you new, fresh things if you'll depend on Him and lean on Him. But tonight I want to talk to you about walking by faith. He said, we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? Not by our senses. We walk by what God says and what He's revealed to us, what grace is assigned to us, and we agree with that, then we have to walk it out, right? We walk by faith. In fact, Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith, right? The just shall live by faith. Now, Janice and I we started our faith walk in 1976. I was born again in 1973. I was born again in a Methodist church on the word I'd heard in a Baptist church 7 years before. And I didn't get saved right then because I thought God would call me to Africa or China or India or somewhere like that. But anyway, I did get born again. But then for 3 years, I lived a carnal Christian life because I wasn't taught the Word. But in 1976, I had a business that I worked sometimes late hours, and when I'd come home kind of to unwind, I watched Johnny Carson. If any of you remember Johnny Carson, because he'd make me laugh. And so, you know, I'd watch Johnny Carson, but a lot of times he was out of town. So when he was out of town, I would turn the channels. And we got to watching the 700 Club. And Pat Robertson and Ben Kinchlow back in those years. And I woke up one night, had fallen asleep on the floor watching the 700 Club, and my wife was on the phone praying with a 700 Club counselor in this language I'd never heard before. But now, not being taught, I didn't know good or bad about it, and I watched her. God radically changed her life. And then a few days later, then I got filled with the Spirit. So 1976, which this was 40 years ago. I'm not that old, but this was 40 years ago. We got our lives were radically changed, and it launched us into a faith journey that we have never looked back. And it's an exciting, exciting life where the Spirit of God takes your life and he launches you into the book of Acts. And he launches you into excitement with him and adventure with him and supernatural with him. And it keeps your relationship with him fresh. And it's just, it's a life that, man, I mean, we've never, ever regretted following him and moving with him. The Word of God became alive to us. This book was a dark book to me until I got filled with the Spirit. And prayers started to be answered because we started praying based on God's Word. And we made new relationships. And we first of all came into an Assembly of God church, Faith Assembly of God in Houston, Texas. And man, we saw people who actually loved Jesus. And the churches we went to, all the guys out after the church service would go light up, you know. But these guys would go outside and talk about Jesus. And we started seeing supernatural happen. We prayed prayers and miracles would happen. And we began to experience the book of Acts. And we began to learn to hear and recognize God's voice and actually see signs and wonders happen in our lives where, you know, I used to read the book of Acts and then go to church and say, man, there is a big difference between what I see in this book and in the Gospels and what I see in the church today. Well, it ought not so be. I mean, we ought to be seeing the book of Acts today. Well, what I'm telling you is, guys, listen, the way into that is walking by faith. And I'm never gotten tired of faith because this is the entrance into the supernatural and signs and wonders and miracles. And where it keeps your relationship with God vibrant. Man, you young people, you need to know, man, God, he wants to talk to you. In fact, he's been trying to talk to you. And man, there's nothing I couldn't buy this. So much joy and so much peace and so much life. You know, when you hear God, and I mean, you hear the God of the universe that you're in relationship with, and he talks to you and he speaks to you. I mean, my wife would come to me, well, God, I mean, and she'd hear God a lot better than I did at first. And she said, well, God told me to go give this, we had this millionaire in our church, and God told me to go buy toilet paper and light bulbs and a roast or something. And I said, man, that's not going to impress that millionaire. I mean, I'd like to impress him, you know. And she said, but no, she was going to buy that for the millionaire's wife. And oh, man, she'd been sick, and she Janice came over there. Nobody ever gives anything to me. And you, I just ran out of toilet paper and I've been sick and I don't have light bulbs that burn out and I needed something for dinner and blah, blah, blah. You know, and she comes home and tells me. Well, the God of the universe, how many of you, the God of the universe knows? He knew. He loves a millionaire's wife and he's not impressed with her millions. He wants to bless her. Well, you and I can hear from God. Are you no pun intended, are you hearing me? He wants us to hear from him, yeah? And we can. And so this is, faith is not just a doctrine, it's a way of life. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. This is how we're supposed to live, guys. It's to live by faith. And look, I'm going to continue to live by faith until I go home to be with Jesus. This is the way we live. It's not just a doctrine that you learn and, well, I got that and I file that away in my, you know, computer files. No, man, this is how we live. We live by faith. And God has called each one of us here to a life of faith. Every one of us. And, you know, what happens is you're going to be tempted to move into a life of being sense-led by your senses, or you can be led by God. Now, which one do you want? But the world, and a lot of people, even in Christians, are sense-led instead of spirit-led and led by faith. And this is a life, guys. I mean, I've never, since 1976, I've never looked back. And I mean, I've received healing of cancer. My son's been supernaturally healed. We've seen signs and wonders. I've seen when we needed money in the bank, I've had God deposit money in my account supernaturally. I've been driving down the highway before and didn't have enough gas to get to the next gas station and the gas tank fill up. I'm not exaggerating. I've seen supernatural signs and wonders just by listening to God and following Him. And I've seen the book of Acts in my life. And you know what? I am still in awe of God today as much as I ever have been. That, you know, Lord, you could speak to this boy. And you could do things, and it's like, man, I love what I do because it puts me in position to go before God and God show me what these people need. I've got a lot of messages. I've got, I don't know how many thousand messages I've got, but I mean, I've got 500 of them in my little iPad here, okay? But the bottom line is I want to hear God. And when you hear God, and like this morning, the light bulbs were coming on. Man, it was like there is no greater joy than I heard from God. This is what Calvary Cathedral International needed, and He used me and He spoke to me. And man, it's awesome, isn't it? Well, He can do the same with you, and on your job, with your marriage. You know, it's that's how I learned to be a good husband, to be a good parent. You know, James Dobson doesn't know everything. And I read a lot of his books, but God has taught me things about my children that I just by listening to Him. And so this is the only way to live, guys, is to live by faith. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you right now. So I want to talk to you now. You know, there's no way I can give you an exhaustive message about this, but I'm not so much interested in just, you know, wowing you or impressing you. I'm very practical, okay? I would have guest speakers come to our church and you know, and they'd try to wow the people with different things and different doctrine. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, you know, I'm Dan and Ashley, I do not care. I'm not so easily impressed. If what we're learning doesn't make a difference in our marriages and our relationships and our relationship with God and all that, you know, I could really give a rip. Are you hearing me? And so I just want to talk to you about what God has taught me about walking by faith, all right? And so kind of in a little bit of a sequence, but not altogether. These things can come at different times. But key number one to walking by faith, faith comes by hearing. Okay? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. You don't need to keep that one up there because you know that. In other words, it starts with a word from God, either by the written word being quickened to us or by the Spirit impressing us with something that He's saying to us He wants us to do, but it lines up with the written word, right? It's according to that which is written, 2 Corinthians 4. I didn't give those guys that, so don't worry about it, guys, but 2 Corinthians 4, I think it's verse 13. Let me see. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken, we believe, and therefore also speak. And so there are some things the Holy Spirit will speak to you that it's not exactly the Bible, but it's going to be in line with the Bible, right? And other times it's just you're reading the Word of God, and then the Lord quickens a verse to you. Okay, like I was reading in the book, and actually it was in 1976 after I was filled with the Spirit, and I was on a fishing trip with my dad and granddad and my brother, and I was just praying, God, show me what Your purpose is for my life. Show me what You have for me. And in Luke 1:2, there's a phrase in verse 2 that says ministers of the word. And it says other things there, but it said ministers of the word. And just that phrase, ministers of the word, leapt off of the page into my heart. Now, I'm a businessman, okay? But God, this was even before my wife came to me and told me that she was going to be a pastor's wife. And God had already started dealing with me. You're a minister of the word. And then I meditated on that for a while. And then I was reading on down in verse 17. There's a phrase there that says, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In verse 17, parts of two different verses, the Holy Spirit quickened to me. And I highlighted those things because I'd been praying, God, show me what You called me to do. And I heard God by Him quickening just two different portions of His word to me. Minister of the word to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, you could read that 1,000 times and never get that out of that. But do you know Jesus, it says, I think in Luke 4, that He found the place it was written of Him. Do you know there are places in the word written about you? There are things in the word. If you will read the word with passion like that, the Holy Spirit will quicken things from the word that will identify you perfectly. This is what I've called you to do. This is what I've anointed you to do. This is what I'm speaking to you about. You young people, listen to me. God can speak to you, all you young people right here on this row, and the rest of you. How many other young people here? Yeah, the rest of you young people. Do you know God can talk to you? He can talk to you from a child.
Yeah.
While you're reading the Word, you're not just reading it to memorize it so that you can kind of know about God, even though that is good, but God will actually take that word and burn it into your heart where He begins to show you what He has planned for your life.
Yeah.
What assignment He has for you and how to make decisions. And sometimes I'm just reading the Bible and all of a sudden, in fact, what I'm reading, John, what I'm reading doesn't even connect with what I know. And all of a sudden, I'm just reading, and I just know an answer of something I've been praying about. And I look down to what I'm reading, has nothing to do with what I know. But while I'm reading, the Bible just makes alive to me what He wants. It's amazing. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. What does that mean? The Word of God is alive. It is alive and powerful, and it will divide between the desires that are in your soul only and that which is of the Spirit. And it's like you can just be reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, faith comes. It's like, I know what to do. I know where to go. I know the answer to what I've been praying about. And just reading the Word, He'll quicken. Faith will come. Faith will come. And it's not. There's not just one way to hear from God, but spending time in the Word is certainly part of that. And letting Him, you know, quicken His Word to you. Sometimes it's in prayer. You're praying in the Spirit, and God just shows you things. Most of the time when I hear from God, it's not like this. It's not like this big lightning and, you know, all this stuff where, you know, or God speaks audibly, Greg, you shall go here, and I've called you to be the director of Caris Bible College. No, but I know I'm called there. I know he sent me there. But when he called me to Decatur, I was just reading in the Bible one day, and it talks about Jesus leaving the south and going to the north, taking his ministry north. And I knew we were in Houston, Texas, and I knew God had called me from South Texas to North Texas. Jesus went to the north, and God, and there were other scriptures He confirmed to me. I knew He called me to North Texas. So we came up to Denton and looked all around, and you know, God puts me in a little podunk city called Decatur, but we ended up there. But I knew we were supposed to be in North Texas by reading the Bible. It wasn't like you shall go to Decatur, Texas, in a message. It wasn't like that. It was like I was reading the Bible, and all of a sudden I just knew in my knower and the desire to be in South Texas left. It's like a dove. It's lifted. And I knew I was supposed to be in North Texas. And it took a little while to get there. But once we were there, I thought we'd be there forever. But then the desire to be where we were left. And I can tell you that most of the time, Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Most of the time, and the way God speaks to me now is more often than not, 95% of the time, it's by desire. Or maybe 90% of the time, it's by desire. Sometimes He'll give me a word, you know, from His written word, or sometimes He'll give me something where I know. But most of the time, He leads me by desire. If I'm delighting myself in Him, okay, then and I'm seeking Him and I'm getting counsel and I'm reading the Word and I'm not hearing anything specific, after a time I default to, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? And what don't I want to do? And I follow the want to. Why? How could you do that, Greg? I want the will of God. I don't want what I want. Yeah, but when He put the want in you, you want what He wants. When you drill down and you find out what the want is, you know, then you're delighting yourself in Him means you're setting aside your own personal agenda. It means you're getting counsel, you're seeking God, you're spending time in the Word. But if you're doing all that, and I don't have time to give you the story, but just kind of a very Cliff Notes version. I was seeking God about a $1.8 million decision about our church in Decatur, Texas. We had this property that we were going to build our next church on, and somebody had offered us $1.8 million for it. And we paid $232,000 for it, for 23 acres. And we actually sold 3 acres off of it for $300,000 now, which paid off the $232,000. And now somebody's offering us, 5 years later, $1.8 million. You say, "That's, I don't need to pray about that." Well, yeah, if you're carnal, you don't. But it's not my church. And if God said He gave us that land to build on, then I've got to pray, "God, is this the land we're to build on, or you want us to take this sale?" I mean, this isn't something to be flippant about. We had to hear God. And I was praying and seeking God. I turn on the radio. Pastor Bob, he's hearing God every day. Andrew's hearing God every day. You know, Kenneth Copeland's hearing God every day. Everybody up, they're all hearing God. And I'm praying and I'm seeking God. I'm not hearing anything. Nothing. And finally one day I said, "Lord, you know, I've been praying. I'm not hearing anything." He finally, the Lord said, "Son, have you been praying and seeking me?" I said, "You know I have." He said, "Have you been spending time in my word about this decision so that I could speak to you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, you know I have." He said, "Have you gotten counsel about this?" I said, "Yes, sir, you know I have." He said, "Have you set aside your own plan about this?" I said, "Yes, sir, you know I have." And he said, "Have you heard from me about this?" And I said, "No, sir, you know I haven't." And he said, "Son, when you're delight, all those things that you're doing is part of delighting yourself in me. Well, Psalm 37:4, when you're delighting yourself in me and seeking me and setting aside all those selfish desires and getting counsel and you don't hear anything, it's because you don't have to. You already have my mind on the matter. Follow your desire." I said, "You've got to be, really? Really? I can do that?" The Lord said, "Oh yeah, I planted that desire there." When God plants a desire in you, how many of you know that is His will? And if you drill down, now if you're just flippant with this and you're following the desires of the flesh, it doesn't work. But when you're seeking God and you want to hear God and you're spending time with God, you know, then what if you drill down to delighting yourself to Him and you're doing that and you're not hearing anything. And the only thing that's left is His desire. And you know what? I wanted to sell that. And we did. And we paid off a piece of a building, a $600,000 building. Then we went down and bought 20 acres or 19 acres out on the highway. And we left that church with $2 million debt-free property. Is that awesome? But see, faith comes by hearing. Many times we're hearing, but what we want God to do, here's what we want God to do. Okay, what is your name right here? Matthew, come here for a second. Help me out. We're seeking God. We want to hear God. And I'm not going to spend as long on the other points as I am on this one. Okay? But the first thing we need to know about walking by faith comes by hearing. But what we want God to do, what happened to you, man?
I wrecked your bike.
All right, okay. Well, I pray healing on that in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we want God to do, we want God to take us by the hand and tell us, "Now, Matthew, I want you to turn to the left here, and I want you to turn to the left again. I want you to go 5 steps. I want you to stop. I want you to go back. This is my will for you. Now, I want you to turn to the right, and then I want you to come this way." And you know, that's cool, isn't it? And he said, "Man, I'm hearing God. He's telling me, go to the left, go to the right. He's got me by the hand." But really, here's the way it really is. "Lord, will you help me? Because I'm such a baby. I do not know how to heal you. So I want you to take me by the hand and tell me, turn to the left, and then turn to the right, and then turn to the right again. Because I'm such a baby. I can't do this by myself. and I don't know anything, and so I want you to take me by the hand, and I want you to do that for me, okay? How many of you know that's not the way he does? Thank you, Matthew. Praise God. Now, here's the deal, guys, okay? And that's what, you know what, the reason why we have a hard time hearing from God is because we place greater value on the spectacular, on a dream, a vision, an open or closed door, a prophetic word. And that's why people follow prophets around. And thank God for prophets. We need them. I'm not against prophets. But usually if you get a dream or a vision or a prophetic word or some you know, really outstanding kind of thing, it's because there's rough sailing ahead. And God's just trying to confirm it to you. But that's not the primary way He speaks to us. We miss the spiritual because we're looking and we're valuing the spectacular. You're missing hearing, most of the body of Christ is missing hearing God because they only value the spectacular way that God speaks. And you know why the body of Christ is handcuffed today? They're not walking by faith because they only walk by faith when God takes us by the hand. Now turn left, little baby, because I know you're such a little baby, and I want you now to turn white, and then turn left, and then do this, and then do that. No, God doesn't lead us primarily that way. That's immature. Now, do you look in the book of Acts, you see God speaking to them at different times, but that was two or three times in their lifetime where an angel of the Lord said, go here, or the Spirit of the Lord said something. That wasn't every day. That wasn't the primary way He led them, yet He's speaking to us every day. And faith comes by hearing, but guys, some of us are not hearing because we're not valuing the still small voice. We're not valuing the desire that He planted there, and we want Him to take us by the hand and make sure all the stars line up, or some kind of fleece, or some kind of open and closed door. Listen, guys, that is dangerous. How many of you know the devil can open and close doors? How many of you know men can open and close doors? I want to know in my knower that it's God, and He trusts me. If He planted a desire in my heart, He gives you the want to do things. And I tell you, 9 times out of 10 now, and you know, by the way, that was a good decision, that $1.8 million decision. Because God planted the desire in me. Doesn't the Bible say you have the mind of Christ? Listen, guys, we need to be faith. This journey of faith comes by us maturing in our ability to hear from God and recognize His voice. And it is the exception rather than the rule for Him to give you a prophetic word about something, to give you a vision or a dream, or an angel come speak to you. I've had an angel get in my car before. But only one time in 40 years. But we want God, we want an angel to come every day. Yeah? And see, guys, look, if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have to grow up. You're going to have to take your toddler pants off, take your thumb out of your mouth, put your big boy, big girl pants on and grow up. We're going to have to stop being babies and expecting God to hold us by the hand when all the time we have to realize He's put desires in our heart, and certainly with that desire, I followed that out with peace. I measured it by the peace I had in my heart, and I checked it out with the Word and all that. But 9 times out of 10, that's how He leads me today, is by desire. And that's just as much, you know, hearing God. If I'm seeking Him and delighting in Him, then I'm going to discover the desire He planted in my heart. Amen? Man, and the reason why people don't walk by... See, faith comes by hearing. And look, you can't Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And if faith comes by, so it's impossible to please God if you and I are not maturing in our hearing. You can't please God staying baby and immature. Okay, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Okay, and faith comes by. So you put those two together. It's impossible to please God without hearing from Him. And if you relegate all of your hearing to the spectacular, you are limiting how much you can please God. You're going to please God about 5% of the time, 3% of the time, 2% of the time. You know what the problem is? We don't trust God that He trusts us. Yeah? So you walk by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and it starts by a word from God that He'll speak to us. Now, John 3:27 says a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So, you know, I don't spend time praying for things I don't know heaven has given to me. Okay, John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So I only spend time praying and believing for things that I know grace has assigned to me. Yeah? And so when I hear God about something, then that's what I lock in on. And that's why I get results. I don't lock in on stuff that I haven't checked out and really delighted myself in the Lord and checked out, is this just my flesh? Because that's what James 4:2 says. Look at James 4:2. If you guys, y'all have that where I can just read it without pulling it up. Anyway, I've got it here. So you lust and do not have, you murder and covet, and keep going. Well, is that all there is to that? I think there's more. And covet, and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And so, see, your flesh is going to always want things, and you got to take the time to seek God to make sure and get past your flesh. Okay, but once I know that I've heard from God, He's quickened something to me by His Spirit that lines up with His Word, or He's put a desire in my heart that I know is from Him, then I'm locking in on that. I'm not praying for things that I'm not sure heaven has assigned to me, but neither am I going to back off and be ashamed to ask largely for something that I know that heaven has assigned to me. I'm going for that. I'm like a bulldog on that. Are you hearing me? And guys, it's important that we grow in our discernment and our ability to hear from God. And you cannot grow that way by valuing the spectacular ways that God speaks above what it is that He says. And you've got to realize, and that's what happened to me. I realize that the primary way God speaks, it's Elijah going to the cave there, and God, you know, was an earthquake and the wind and fire, and God wasn't in any of that. That's spectacular. It was a still small voice, and it's when we get quiet and we seek the Lord and we drill down and find out what's in our spirit. And we go with that desire or that peace or that inward witness about what He's taught, what I know. And I don't know a lot of things, but what the reason why my prayer life is successful and I see any degree of success is because I don't lock in on something until I know that heaven has assigned that to me. But when I know heaven has assigned it to me, then I'm locking in on it and I'm going for it with all my heart. And I'm not letting go, and I'm asking big about that. Yeah. Amen? See, that's faith. I don't pray for stuff I don't know If I don't know it's the will of God, why in the world, why do I want to be praying about that? Just lock in on the things that you know. How many of you know God's got something for you? He's revealed something to you, or He's put a desire in your heart for something. Don't relegate that or minimize or trivialize that. That came from God. And you need to go for it like you had an audible voice speak to you. Amen? Then, number two, you got to know about your walk of faith. And I do have the airport in sight, so don't get nervous, okay? these other points are pretty obvious, but I want to just tell you that there is a fight to faith. There is a fight to faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, right? It's a good fight because we win if we don't quit. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:12, it's a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. But there is a fight, okay? And it's a good fight. And you know what? Our fight isn't just against the devil. There is a battle, you know, but the thing is, the devil's defeated, even though he's not dead. And I know he does come against us, but the biggest fight is the fight against our senses. We walk by faith and not by... The biggest fight is against our senses. And when the doctor came and told me I had cancer, and it's, you know, your senses are telling you, you feel this, you see this, you hear this report, and the fight to stay in faith was a fight to not value the sense realm more than what God said. And you have to know there's going to be opposition. When you start this walk of faith, once you know God's spoken a thing to you, don't think it's just going to be handed to you on a platter. Now, God will hand it to you, but it's not going to be without resistance from the enemy. He's going to fight you, and your senses are going to fight you. The reason why, you know, people hear from God all the time, but they don't possess what they hear because they don't fight the good fight of faith. They just cave in or give up or yield or agree with their senses. Another way to say it is they're submitting to what they see more than what God says. I'm not saying faith is not denying. Let's say, for example, you get a bad report at the doctor's. Faith is not denying, you know, I don't have cancer, I don't have cancer, I don't have diabetes, I don't have whatever it is the doctor said. That's not faith. I don't have, I'm, you know, no, that's not faith. Faith is saying, well, thank you, doctor, I appreciate, you know, I know you're doing everything you can and this is what you see, but I've got inside information. And I'm exalting the truth above the facts. And I'm going to, if I want to see victory, I exalt the truth above the facts until the truth wins out. And what am I doing? I'm fighting against my senses that tell me the facts are more real than the truth. And the reason why people don't receive, they don't walk this walk of faith, is because they really value more what they see, hear, smell, sense, you know, hear with their ears instead of what the Word of God says. But look, if you will exalt what God says and value what God says more than anything that your senses are telling you, and you hold on to that, you'll be a man and woman of faith that God has called you to be all along. God wants this church to wake up. You are men and women of faith. You're not wimps. You're men and women of faith. But sometimes we wimp out by what our senses are telling us instead of the Word of God. And it's time to rise up and be men and women of faith. And what God said, there's going to be a fight, guys. But the fight is not as much against the devil as it is against our senses. Now, I know the devil's, you know, fueling all that. But now look at Hebrews 10, and you can see a little bit about this fight. Hebrews 10 and verse 32. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you're made a spectacle by reproaches and tribulations, partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you've got a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. What is he saying? After you get illuminated with the word, after faith comes, that you know God has given this to you, the enemy's not going to play dead. He's not going to lay down and just play dead. He's going to fight you, and because if he can get you to give it up, then you're not going to inherit, and then you're not going to impact his kingdom at all. It's men or women of faith who spend time with God, and they lock in on what they've heard, that they know God is saying, and they don't give up and wimp out, and they don't quit. Somebody preached that before here. Don't quit. They don't quit just because their senses tell them something different. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so, and you'll have a reward if you fight that fight with the Word of God. Then number three is faith is voice activated. You got to know this about faith. It's voice activated. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth, everybody say mouth. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope or faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Then Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? What things? Anything that opposes the will of God, what you've heard from God. You've got to speak what God said to you and what you heard God say, and you've got to agree with that and speak that. Listen, you got to get this. You can't miss this, because you don't inherit if you don't. Your voice activates your faith, and you've got to agree. You've got to agree. A confession is the word homologia. It means you're saying the same thing. Okay? You've got to agree with what God spoke to you that you locked in on. You've got to agree with that rather than what you see. And you agree, got to agree with that with your mouth. What shall you then say to these things? Okay, I'm not going to have the time to turn over there, but in Mark chapter 4, right after Jesus told them the parable of the sower, he told them to get in the boat and go to the other side. Remember, and they got in the boat, they're on the way to the other side, there was a big storm. And go to verse 37. And the windstorm and the boat was filling. In fact, it said it was dangerous. Now go to verse 38. And watch this. Let's stop right there. He was in the stern, asleep on the pillow. He was all worried and fretting about the storm, right, Jesus? And they awoke him and said, teacher, two things. You don't care, and we're perishing. What did Jesus say? Go to the other side. What did they say? You don't care, and we're perishing. See, guys, and then what did he ask? Where's your faith? Right? Now, they did get to the other side, and when they got to the other side, they met the man that was the demonized man, and cast the devils out, and that guy was free. But here's the thing. What shall you then say to these things? See, the Bible even says the boat was filling and they were in danger. But what did Jesus say? Where's your faith? See, when Jesus tells us to get in a boat and go to the other side, it doesn't mean when you hear him speak to you, I want you to go to Bible college and I want you to get your Bible college certificate or degree, or when he tells you to, you know, whatever he is telling you, you know, you step out. You understand the enemy's not just going to play dead. And you may have a storm going to the other side, But the bottom line is, what are you saying to your storm? Faith is activated, is voice activated. And what you say makes all the difference in the world. They said, they got in the boat, so there was faith involved. But then when the storm came, they said something different. They didn't homologia. They didn't say the same thing. They said something different. They said two things. They didn't say, storm, you be still. Jesus told us we're going to the other side. You can't stop us. They didn't say that. They said, Lord, we're perishing. And you don't care. Which neither one of them was true. Right? And so you hear from God, but just because you hear from God doesn't mean there's not going to be opposition. And what you say matters. And now if you said the wrong thing, okay, then repent. And you can pull up those bad seeds. But when you committed in marriage, you committed for better or for worse. So why are you saying the D word? Are you hearing me? You don't use the D word, divorce, when you're having a marriage problem. You go back to your commitment. And God through, and we're going to the other side. Amen? We're not going to the divorce court. Hallelujah. Now there's a lot that I could say here, but the bottom line is it all starts with hearing God, a word from God. Then there's going to be a fight. You got to know that. Then you got to know that faith is voice activated. Your words matter. Yeah? And we got to decide ahead of time who we're agreeing with and what we agree with. And then finally, number four, we've landed, okay, so, but through faith and patience we inherit. Faith doesn't work by itself. Put that back up there if you would, guys. Through faith and patience. Everybody say faith and patience. Now look, faith, patience is, it does, faith doesn't work by itself, and patience is not an enemy. How many of you love to wait in line? How many of you love to wait on anything? How many of you love to wait for Christmas? I mean, you know, you just, it's like, how many of you like Christmas, but waiting for it, right? And we don't like to wait on anything. And I'm not going to take a long time on this, but you can't receive from God, guys, with your eyes on the clock or the calendar. And you start, somebody comes to me and tells me how long it's been. I just tell them, look, you know, how long ago was it that Jesus paid the price for you? That's longer than however long it's been. Do you understand what Jesus did 2,000 years ago is still effective today? And I'm not going to say I don't care how long it's been. I do. But I see lots of cases in the Bible where somebody was in that state for 12 years, you know, for 38 years, for a long time, and they had a suddenly. You know, I'd like it all to be suddenly right now. I'd like every prayer to be instant, but the bottom line is through faith and patience, we inherit. And you need to add some patience to your faith, and you'll inherit. You don't give up. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 36. Hebrews 10, verse 36. For you have need of endurance or patience so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What's the will of God? That you add patience to your faith and stop looking at patience as an enemy. It's not an enemy. It's your friend. It's what will reel the fish into the boat. It's what will bring, you know, it is what will bring the promise into your life. And what that means is you just have endurance where I'm locking in on what God said and my voice is activating it. I'm agreeing with God and I'm not giving up. I'm holding fast to what God said and I'm not giving up until it comes in. Yeah? Now guys, look, I've seen a lot of miracles and a lot of things happen. But there's no shortcuts on this stuff. It's a life of faith, and I'd like for it all to happen just immediately, wouldn't you? I mean, yeah, and I've seen a lot of instantaneous things. I've seen instantaneous miracles, but you know, when it doesn't happen overnight, then I'm just going to lock in. I'm not giving up. I'm locking in on it, and I'm not letting go of it. Yeah? Until the answer comes. And I've prayed about some things and believed for some things. It hasn't happened yet, but you know what? It will. So here's just kind of a boiling all this, tying it all together. First of all, you got to hear God, because faith comes by hearing. And you're not going to hear God as often as you could if you value the spectacular above the spiritual. You're not going to. You're just going to be hearing Him sporadically. But you can be hearing Him every day, and by valuing the desires He's put in your heart, and valuing the things He quickens to you, and then you locking in on that. Are you hearing me? Then the second thing is, there's a fight to faith, and mostly the fight is not so much. It is a fight against the enemy, but he's a defeated foe. The real fight is a fight of faith against your senses that are going to try to tell you something different. And you cannot win a fight of faith by valuing your senses above the Word of God and above what you know He's told you. Yeah? Then you have to know that faith is voice activated. What you say really matters. And you've got to agree with God with your voice, and what you say will happen if you'll agree with what God says. And then you just add patience to it, and it'll come to pass. The things that you've been believing for will happen. Yeah? Now this is how I walk by faith, and this is how I stay in faith. These are just simple principles. But they're life-changing. They'll absolutely cause you to bring in the things that God's put in your heart. Would you stand up with me now? I want to pray over your hearing. Okay? I want to pray, because faith comes by hearing. Now, I'm convinced God's already spoken to you about some things that you've let go of. And you need to go back and brush the dust off of that and pick it back up and get in faith. And then you'll see it happen. You'll see it happen. Dan, God's spoken to you and Ashley about some things. And because of delay and disappointment and one thing and another, you know, you've let some things go. And you need to go back to those things, and you need to write them down. And you and your wife needed to get an agreement on them, because God's going to yet bring that to pass. He's yet going to bring it to pass. Let's lift our hands. Father, we just thank you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for what you're speaking today. You've called each of us to an adventure of faith. You're speaking. I pray, Father, for a fine-tuning of hearing your voice, discerning, Father, what you're saying. You're not, Father, you're speaking all the time. We just got to tune in. And so I'm praying for tonight that there's a recalibrating, a readjustment, where there's a tuning in. We're not just tuned into the spectacular anymore. We're tuning in to the still small voice. We're tuning in to any measure, any method you want to use to speak to us. We're tuning in to the desires you've planted in our heart, and we're going to value that from now on. That peace or that inner witness, we're going to value that. Just while we're reading the Word, you're quickening things to us. We're going to value that. And Father, we're going to act on it. We're going to lock in on it. In Jesus' name, I'm praying right now for a divine tuning of the Spirit. divine tuning, fine tuning is taking place tonight, where you're adjusting your hearing, where you're going to hear no more. You're going to be dull of hearing. You're going to hear clearly the voice of God. Faith is going to be activated. Faith is rising in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Just put one hand on your heart, one hand on your ear, and just say, Father, I thank you that you're giving me ears to hear. You're retuning me where I'm very sensitive to what you're saying. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm so aware of this. I'm just going to tell you what I hear the Lord saying. As you spend time in His Word this week, there's going to be things leap off of the page. In fact, if you just pray about where you're supposed to read, He's going to lead you. He's going to speak to you. There's someone here that you've got a strong desire to do something, and you've just been praying and praying and praying and praying. God, I want your will, not my will. And you've been discounting that desire He put in your heart. I'm telling you, that's God. That's God. That desire that He planted there, it's God. I'm not talking to somebody who's flippant and just yields to the whims of the flesh. I'm talking about someone here. Who is that? You've got a desire. God's put that in your heart. I just agree with you right now in Jesus' name. I agree with you in Jesus' name. I agree with you in Jesus' name. That desire He's put in your heart. Remind me of your name. Tim. Tim, that desire He put in your heart is strong. And that desire that He put in your heart is from Him. Now you step out on that, and you lock in on that, and you confess for that, and you believe for that, and it's going to be much blessing to you, your family, and the kingdom, and much hurt and harm to the enemy. In Jesus' name. Father, we agree in the name of Jesus that you're blessing Tim. Father, you planted that desire in his heart. You planted it. Father, help him lock in on it, just like it would be if he'd heard an audible voice from God. You planted that desire. That is your will, Father. Any desire you plant in us is your will. In Jesus' name. Man, it's like God, it's like ears are opening right now. Spiritual ears are opening. Just right now, right while I'm talking, spiritual ears are opening. God has retuned you and recalibrated you, and you're hearing His voice right now. So clear. God's brought you into alignment just with the Word tonight. And faith has come. Now you know what to do with it. You've got to walk it out. It's not going to be without a fight. It's not going to be without opposition. But it's also not going to come to pass unless you give voice to it. Now you don't have to do that in front of other people. It doesn't matter. But between you and God, you need to give voice to that. Robert and Pam, God's speaking to you guys. There's some things, there's an abundance of things, a plethora of things, but there are three things that God's placed in your heart real strong. And God will yet bring those things to pass. You write them down, you talk to one another about it, you pray about it, you write it down, and you begin to speak to that. God's going to birth that and bring it to pass. And it's a now season. It's not off way in the future. And you'll have to fight a little bit. But you know, it's a good fight because we win. Amen. I said it's a good fight because we win. Praise God. Miriam, God is so pumped and excited about what He's put in your heart. And you just need to go for it. It's from Him. In Jesus' name. Father, I just bless Miriam. She's got ears to hear. She's going to walk in this. God's birthing ministries all throughout this room. God is going to use you to teach and preach the Word in a more powerful way. And you're going to find a new voice, Miriam. You've been comfortable being a background, but God's putting you in the forefront in the name of Jesus. You've got things to say. They're powerful. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear what God, the body of Christ, needs to hear what God has revealed to Miriam. Now, speak up, woman of God. Speak up. Rise up and speak up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And God's speaking to people. How many of you, God has got you just in this time of prayer, He got you focused on something that He said. How many of you has that happened? Man, several of you. Praise God. Is this your daughter here, David? Okay, what is your name? Holly? Man, Holly, you're loaded. Really, you're loaded, girl. I'm telling you, you are loaded, and it's like you're so full you could explode. But it's going to be Holy Ghost explosions. And I'm speaking over you, Holly, open doors that no man will shut. Doors of favor, new doors that got of utterance. You're going to speak the word boldly. Signs and wonders are going to happen. Miracles are going to happen as you speak the word. God's showing you things about other people, prophetic things, scriptures he'll give you about people. You need to be bold and speak out. And He's opened up a door. You're a teacher. You teach the word, and you're just loaded. You're full of revelation. Praise God, Father. We agree right now that you're opening doors for Holly, that you're promoting her. And Father, well, we need her gifts. And Father, I thank you for sending her where her gifts will be celebrated and valued in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's like in this atmosphere, prophecy can come real easy because people are starting to hear. They're starting to hear. I mean, it's just ears are opening. Ears are opening. Eyes are opening. Praise God. My sister here, forgive me, the black shirt, blouse, Pam. Pam, this is your coming out time, Pam. Praise God. This is your time. The things that God's put in your heart are coming to pass. And, you know, it's been a long time coming for you. But there are things He's put in your heart. And God's promoting you. And it's going to be through serving. And it's also going to be through loving people. But it's also going to be through you responding instantaneously to the word that He speaks to you. There are going to be people that are going to be healed. There are going to be people that are set free from years of bondage because you obeyed God and obeyed His voice. So, Father, we just pray for Pam as she hears you. Divine appointments, I hear, Pam, divine connections in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I just hear the Lord saying, Pam, thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving the body. Thank you for loving those in your family and serving without expectation. Your reward is great, Pam. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, guys, you know, hearing God is so easy as long as we don't value the spectacular over the spiritual. But then, you know, once we hear Him, you've got to walk out these other steps. It's not just going to happen like ripe cherries falling off a tree. But I tell you, if you hold on to the Word and don't give up, you'll see the reward. And stop praying for stuff that you're not sure about. Just lock in on what you know God said, man. And you're going to see, man, you're going to do great harm to the enemy's kingdom, and it's going to bring great advancement to God's kingdom. Amen. Praise God. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, I'm so excited about the future for Calvary Cathedral International. Hallelujah. God, I'm telling you, we've seen in the past, we've seen revival, but we haven't seen anything yet. We're going to see a move of God like we've never seen it before. God is not a stale God. And we don't have to go back to 1993. Oh God, I wish we were back there. No, man, the world is dark, and they need the light that's in us, and they need the Holy Ghost that's in us and the Word that's in us. Amen. Praise God. So, Father, I want to thank you for Calvary Cathedral International. I want to thank you for the destiny of this church, the future of this church. Father, I want to thank you for Pastor, for doing a quick healing work in his body, strengthening him. And Father, let there be a swift recovery time, and even a catching up, Father, where he got behind.